am the regional preparedness nurse with the Section of Public Health Nursing for Southeast. And I'm going to provide you a brief update on coronavirus. I know with the upcoming tourist season, a lot of questions are coming in about cruise ships and how we're going to prevent and mitigate the spread of illness from cruise ships. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. The Section of Public Health Nursing works very closely with the Section of Epidemiology and the CDC Quarantine Station to manage any reportable illnesses that happen on a cruise ship. And this is a very normal process, and we'll continue to do that throughout this tourist season as well. So we're very well versed in how to handle any sort of reportable or communicable illness that might happen on a cruise ship. To give you some background on coronaviruses are a very large family of viruses, and they're actually very common in both people and animals. Rarely an animal coronavirus will pass to a person, and then it starts spreading from person to person, and that's what we saw with the SARS outbreak in 2003 and the MERS outbreak in 2015, and that's what we're seeing here today with the current outbreak as well. So the new coronavirus that's been spreading is causing a respiratory illness that can become very severe. And the illness that it's causing is named COVID-19. So that's what I'm going to be referring to it as for the next couple of minutes through my presentation. And the total case count for COVID-19 is 79,331 cases to date as of this morning's CDC and World Health Organization situation report. There have been 2,618 deaths, and 23 of those have taken place outside of China. There are 53 cases in the United States, and that does include the 36 repatriated citizens from the Diamond Princess cruise ship. No cases have been reported to date in Alaska, and we hope that continues, but we're preparing in case it does not. Transmission is via respiratory droplets, so that's if someone is coughing or sneezing, and those droplets get in the air and people around can breathe those in. That's the primary mode of transmission. And close contacts, so people who you live with or are very close with, are the most at risk of becoming infected with coronavirus if they're near someone who's ill. The transmissibility is actually not that high. It's rated as 2 to 3. So that means for every one person who is infected with COVID-19, they would get approximately 2 to 3 other people ill, provided no mitigation strategies are in place. And so a mitigation strategy would be quarantine or isolation of someone who's ill or may become ill. And to put that into a little bit of perspective, the transmissibility of measles is 13, and annual influenza is 1.2. So it is slightly more transmissible than flu, but far less than what we see with measles. The fatality rate is, at this time, 2.7%. So we are seeing 2.7% of people who become infected are passing away, but they're actually, this might be quite a bit lower than the actuality, because there are a lot of cases that haven't been reported because they're not sick enough to need medical intervention. And so we do anticipate that fatality rate to decrease quite a bit in the coming months as we get more information about this disease. And to put that into a bit of perspective for you, with measles, the fatality rate is 0.2%. But with SARS in 2003, it was 10%, and with MERS, it was 35%. So we're already knowing that this is quite a bit less fatal than we've seen with outbreaks of coronavirus in the past. Symptoms include fever and cough initially, and then this is followed by shortness of breath, fatigue, and muscle pain. And treatment right now is supportive care, so treating people for fever and pain. We may see antiviral treatment in the future, but right now we don't have any that seems to be effective, so that is in the works, but hasn't quite come to fruition. Prevention is, there are several simple everyday preventative efforts that everyone can use in order to keep from spreading any respiratory illness, including coronavirus. And this is to practice hand washing with soap and water for 20 seconds. If you're not able to wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. Cover your coughs and sneezes. Stay home if you're sick and avoid other sick people. And we definitely also recommend getting your flu vaccine. Getting vaccinated for the flu will not prevent you from getting coronavirus, but it will keep your immune system healthy and able to fight off other illnesses such as coronavirus. And I'm happy to answer any questions. And as you mentioned, we do have Charlie here as well from the hospital and Tom Matisse who can answer any questions about city planning and preparedness.
All right, any questions? Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the information, and I appreciate the other information for context. You mentioned, I just want to make sure I got it right, the fatality of this rate of this virus is 2.7 or 1.7?
2.7.
And what about for flu?
For flu, it's less than 0.1%.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you for coming and giving us this information today. Some anecdotal information that I received, and I was hoping that you could confirm it or not, is that of the fatalities so far, that the majority were folks that had other medical issues, and that compounded the illness, and that's why the initial fatality rate was a bit higher because of the existing medical issues that were going on. Is that part of it, or is...
We are seeing that it is affecting people who are elderly or who have what we call comorbid conditions, so who are ill with other things, are the most heavily affected and the most likely to pass away or not be able to recover from the illness. So that is something that we are seeing for sure, that it is affecting more of those who medically fragile.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Could you let us know what type of mitigation measures are in place for people coming into the United States or Alaska or other, anyway, how to prevent?
Yeah, so right now, anyone who's flying into the United States from China has to go to one of a certain set of airports who have screening processes in place, and they have to answer a questionnaire and make sure they don't have any symptoms. And if they had symptoms, then the CDC quarantine station is notified, and they would have further measures such as going into quarantine. And we are in Alaska for anyone who is coming back from travel through China. If they have no symptoms, at no risk, they were outside of Hubei province, then they're still being followed up with public health nursing under monitoring to make sure that they don't develop symptoms during the incubation period, which is 14 days. But we do have those strategies in place, and it's a lot of coordination between epidemiology and CDC to make sure that anyone who has traveled to a place that they may have been exposed, that they're being followed up on and tracked to make sure if they did become ill, we knew and could put them into isolation or quarantine as needed.
Further questions? All right. Thank you. I'll get try this. Ms. Schulte Pereira.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Matisse, while you're here, you might as well come up and tell us what we're doing in Juneau.
Well, we're staying in close quarters contact with the hospital and the Harbors Department, presented with the captain of the port last week to the Docks and Harbors Board, talked a little bit about cruise ship policies. We're revisiting the Coast Guard's quarantine and policy with the cruise ships and other agencies as well. So just revisiting our resources in the region and revisiting our plans in the region, coordinating with our partners and maintaining response capability.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Matisse? All right. You got off easy today.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Anybody else, Mr. Manager, Ms. Deputy Manager, that you wanted to talk on this?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right. Thank you. All right. Right. We'll take that with to approval of minutes. And Ms. Treem, you have a couple sets.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that we approve the December 16th, 2019 and January 13th, 2020 minutes with one minor correction that I've already sent to the clerk.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Treem. Any objections or approval of those minutes? Seeing and hearing none, they're approved. I have to hand my gavel over to Ms. Gladyszewski for a moment.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Gladyszewski. I move that we approve minutes for January 15th and January 30th. I had two total of corrections for the clerk, which I handed to her. So I ask for approval of my motion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Any objections to that motion? Those minutes are approved. Back to Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Deputy Mayor. Manager's request for agenda changes.
No changes, thank you.
Public participation on non-agenda items. All right, it appears that we have none signed up, but is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on non-agenda items? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move to the consent agenda. Is there any public request for consent agendas other than ordinances for introduction? Are there any assembly requests for consent agenda changes? All right, Ms. Bajewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that we approve the consent agenda as submitted and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, we will move to public hearing. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-06-S, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $200,000 as funding for the Centennial Hall renovation phase two capital improvement project. Funding provided by the Hotel Tax Fund's fund balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $200,000 from the Hotel Tax Fund to begin design work on Centennial Hall renovations and upgrades. These funds will allow design work to begin ahead of anticipated construction in the summer or fall of 2021. Scope of work will include items 1 through 4 as discussed at the December 9, 2019 Public Works and Facilities Committee meeting, which specifically includes upgrades to mechanical and electrical systems, renovation of ballrooms, and renovation and expansion of the building foyer. Source of funds is the additional 2% hotel tax enacted on January 1, 2020 for the purpose of improvements to Centennial Hall, which is expected to generate new revenue of $210,000 in fiscal year 2020. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly, and for a change, we're going to start on this end. Ms. Glashevsky.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-06-S, like Sam. I ask unanimous consent. I also move that the city manager report back regularly to the Public Works and Facilities Committee meeting as these plans progress to make sure we're all still on the same page about what's going to happen there.
Any objections to the motion? Seeing and hearing none, the motion is approved. Item B, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-06-T, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $4 million as funding for Douglas Highway, David to I Street Water System Replacement Capital Improvement Project. Loan funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, Alaska Drinking Water Fund, State Revolving Fund.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This appropriating ordinance provides $4 million for the replacement of the water system in Douglas Highway between David Street and I Street, including a segment down Capitol View Avenue to 2nd Street Douglas. Water system was constructed in the early 1980s, is past its useful life, and prone to leaks and failures. This work is scheduled to occur during the 2020 construction season, prior to the Alaska Department of Transportation rehabilitating Douglas Highway during the next couple of years. Public Works and Facilities Committee moved the appropriation forward at its meeting of September 23, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly approve Ordinance 2019-06-T and have a couple questions.
Sure, Mr. Jones, go ahead.
Thank you. This is the second phase of this project. It was bid out, so I assume that this is a change in the fund source. Was this a capital project that was funded several years ago and we just now have a loan? I'm wondering why the bid's already been approved. I think at the last meeting we approved the contract, and now we have an ordinance to appropriate the money from a loan fund. So is this a change of fund source?
Madam Mayor, I'm looking to the audience, to Mr. Barr or Mr. Rogers, to see if they know the answer to that question. And I'm getting negative head shakes on it. Regrettably, I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay. Now I would ask unanimous consent.
And an answer to your question at some point.
at some point, I'll get an answer.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. Madam Clerk, item C.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2020-02, version B, an ordinance regulating commercial rental provision and use of shared micro-mobility devices.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Ordinance 2020-03 extended the moratorium for certain micromobility devices through July 9, 2020. This ordinance would prohibit commercial rental or use of micromobility devices on the docks, seawalks, streets, and sidewalks of downtown Juneau. Micromobility devices include bikes, e-bikes, scooters, segways, and e-scooters. This ordinance would not regulate private use of bikes or use of micromobility devices on private property. Assembly Committee of the Whole discussed this ordinance on December 2, 2019. After a public hearing on January 3, 2020, the Assembly referred this ordinance back to the Committee of the Whole. On February 10, 2020, the Assembly Committee of the Whole reduced the size of the prohibition area and explicitly clarified that segways are considered micromobility devices. Version B of the ordinance reflects those amendments. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. We do have people signed up for this, so could we have?
I have a conflict of interest in requesting the Assembly's permission to be recused.
Thank you for reminding me, Mr. Bryson. You're refused. So we do have public testimony signed up, so would Mr. Willis come up, please? And please state your name and the area you live or your street.
Madam Mayor and Assembly members, my name is Reuben Willis. I reside at 2912 Jackson Road in Juneau, Alaska.
And Mr. Willis, you'll have 3 minutes. Sorry, I forgot to say
Thank
that.
Thank you. I'm the owner of Segway Alaska. I want to thank all of you Assembly members and for meeting as a committee of the whole and your efforts to make changes to the December 2019 proposed ordinance. It was an expansion of the original April 2019 ordinance banning dockless scooters. I strive for peace and harmony in my life and business dealings. It is not in my desire or my nature to upset individuals, existing clients, or co-residents of Juneau. I like being a good neighbor in both my personal life and my business affairs. I agree that unguided dockless scooters are an eyesore, and I have been in communities where they are discarded, piled up, and have witnessed the problems that they create. Being unguided with top speeds approaching or exceeding 20 miles per hour and unlimited access by inebriated individuals, the chance of injuring themselves or others is significant. The original April 2019 ordinance changed from an ordinance to address a very specific concern and has expanded way beyond the original proposal without full proper consideration, I think, that it deserves. I would encourage the Assembly to take a wait-see and have a sunset period in a year and see what happens. In 2007, The Assembly created the Juneau Commission on Sustainability. I'd like to read from its original adoption. Whereas the City and Borough of Juneau is committed to a sustainable future that meets today's needs without compromising the ability of future generations to do the same and supports a stable, diverse, and equitable economy, protects the quality of the air, water, land, and other natural resources, conserves native vegetation, fish, wildlife habitat, ecosystems, minimizes human impacts on local and worldwide ecosystems, minimizes energy usage, and the release of greenhouse gases. And whereas the CBJ Comprehensive Plan provides that it is the policy of CBJ to build a sustainable community that endures over generations, that is sufficiently far-seeing and flexible to maintain the vital and robust nature of its economic, social, and environmental support systems. And hereas, the Assembly finds that it's in the public's interest to create a panel to research, advise the Assembly on community sustainability. Segways were originally conceived and built with exactly this purpose in mind. Communities, large cities, places where people congregate and to be able to navigate not only outdoors but indoors and are today used as such. I'd like to see the Juneau Council on Sustainability
need to wrap it up, Mr. Willis.
Have an opportunity to research, address, and advise the Assembly on this issue before they adopt it, and rather than create using such a sweeping expansion. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Willis before he runs off too far? Ms. Glashevsky?
I have a question for Mr.
Yes.
Willis. Thank you for coming and explaining. Are there objections regarding this ordinance specifically, parts of this that you think are not any good? I understand you'd like us to spend more time on it, but is there something specific that you find troubling? We're not banning Segways in the entire borough.
Correct.
It's just driving them around downtown where it's super crowded. So is there something about that you object to?
Well, there are some opportunities that were in the back of my mind that could be potentially helpful to both the community and the cruise ship industry. As we have individuals at the far end of the farthest terminal and are trying to communicate or commute to the downtown area, it gives one more opportunity for a business to maybe to do that. As I visited with members of the Council of Sustainability, my impression was that they would like to see an opportunity to advise the Assembly on those issues and those potential opportunities that may not be being considered at this time.
Thank you.
All right. Any more questions for Mr. Willis? Thank you. So that brings us to Aaron Willis.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of the Assembly. My name is Erin Willis. I live at 2912 Jackson Road, and I am the co-owner of the new business Segway Alaska. And I just wanted to echo Ruben's suggestion that really I see this as a situation of apples and oranges, where we are having the original intent of this ordinance, I think, was to prevent a company coming in and dumping a whole bunch of dockless scooters with no oversight. And I just wanted to explain, our company is going to be one that has guides and is interacting. There will be no rentals. It's a tour. They're trained on safety for 20 to 30 minutes before they go out. No one who has balance issues, pregnant, is under the influence of any substance that would impair them would be on that, and they would always be on an approved route with 1 to 2 guides at all times. So I do feel that it's a little bit different than I think what the scope of this ordinance was intending to do. And just as new small business owners, it's been a little bit nerve-wracking to come to the city in September before investing funds. We don't have backers. It's literally a mom and pop here taking retirement money to bring something new and interesting to visitors and locals, and to find out after quite a bit of investment that maybe what we want to do and the tours we want to bring could maybe not be allowed has been a little bit nerve-wracking. But we feel really excited and hope to be able to offer this as something that has no emissions, no sound, and really has very minimal impact on our fellow Junoites. And just want to thank you for considering this as really something different than I think it was intended to come forth with these dockless rentals as opposed to a guided tour. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Actually, I have a couple.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. Ms. Wells, thanks for coming.
Just sorry, Ms. Glashevsky.
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor. You pointed at me, so I
started talking. I'm sorry.
Just to clarify, I understood that your tour wasn't intending to go downtown. It was going other places.
That's
Is that correct?
True.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So your, that's it. That's all I need.
But I know Ruben did say there, you know, there could be that opportunity, and if it know, just maybe is every small device really the same thing? And is every company somebody who's local and living here and overseeing that as opposed to someone buying open to scooters and putting them downtown is different? I would bring up part of one of our tours would go up Capitol and Calhoun, and if there in the future is a whole bunch of neighborhood backlash on that, our only other way to get up to see the Capitol building would be from Centennial Hall down in front of where McGivney's is, and then up Main Street, and then they would hop off and get their 15 minutes to walk around and see the Capitol building, see the City Museum. So if we can't, you know, in the future, we're pushed out of there, then a huge part of our tour down there would, sorry, that's it's time for my dog's medicine. It really is. Okay, thank you.
Actually, I have a quick question. Oh, yeah. So if you were going downtown, however, do you see your tour, where do you see your tour, on the road, on the sidewalk?
Most often should be on the sidewalk for safety, and I have driven around quite a bit, and going from along Egan and then up Main Street there, those are much wider than normal. I mean, we have no interest in being in South Franklin, but it really would be integral to our downtown tour for them to be able to go in and see the Capitol building, to see Seward. That's really a part of the historical downtown tour, going in to see the bust of Elizabeth Paratovich inside of our Capitol building. So we're just concerned that it's not much of a historical tour if we can't go there.
All right, thank you. Any further questions? All right, thank you, Ms. Willis. And that brings us to Mr. McConaughey. Again, if you would state your name and area of town or street you live on.
Certainly. Good evening. Thank you for having me here tonight. My name is John McConaughey. I reside at 3172 Pioneer Avenue. This evening, what I wanted to talk about was firstly to thank you for changing the boundaries regarding where micromobility vehicles can go and not go. I would ask that you sunset this ordinance if it is passed in 1 year. I'd hate for good ideas to be ruled out if there is an opportunity. I think these alternative methods of transportation should be encouraged. A lot of times they talk in micromobility about the last mile, which means the last mile could be 5 miles, it could be 2 miles, it could be 500 yards. I think in a lot of ways, getting people out of downtown, I would call this the first mile, where you have an alternative method of allowing people to transit out of the town rather on a micromobility piece of equipment. So I would ask you sunset it in a year's time. If good ideas come forward, then they can be investigated. And I like the idea of Mr. Willis's thoughts on the panel bringing ideas to the assembly.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Mr. McConaughey. That's a tough one. All right, any other member of the public wish to testify to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2020-02B and ask unanimous consent.
Mr. Smith.
Object for purposes of an amendment.
All right. Go ahead.
Should I distribute it?
Yep.
I was going to say you could just go into it.
Sorry. There's several that have to come down, including our Madam Clerk and our Mr. Attorney. So keep them coming.
We ruined it for you. But it was
no. Are there two pages or
something? No. We're just doing it piecemeal. For dramatic.
Okay, Mr. Smith is flunked passing out.
I have determined that. Thank you, Madam Mayor. This amendment, with help from our municipal attorney, just so we get it right, would sunset the ordinance on April 1st, 2021. I think during discussions at Committee of the Whole and some of the public testimony we just heard here, I do think it is a blunt tool. I hope that, I think there's some opportunity here for quality visitor experience, reducing car congestion.
Sorry.
Apparently you're done, Mr. Smith. Go ahead.
You maybe should have said that. Reducing car congestion, some parking issues, providing an interesting and good experience for our visitors. I also just think there's some economic activity that we could potentially encourage. I understand why the sequence of ordinances have come to pass, and I appreciate the work that staff and the Assembly has done on those. I do just think there is a better way, and I'm committed to working on that. I think this ordinance gives us time to hopefully stave off maybe our kind of biggest concerns over this coming cruise season, but maybe to develop something for the next season where we can work with folks that have ideas on how to move people around efficiently downtown and safely, still maintain the integrity of our community and and the feel of our community, but I think there's just a better way than just doing a geographic kind of blanket ordinance. So that's the reason I'm proposing an amendment to sunset this for next year's cruise season, sunset on April 1st, 2021.
Ms.
May I ask to make a motion of a question? Can you give me an idea of what it is you think is not correct about the purpose of this? Is about congestion in the downtown core where there's a lot of activity. I think you could amend the map, whatever, but what is it about this that you imagine we can do better, just generally?
Sure.
I understand we're not done, apparently, according to your amendment, but what generally are you thinking?
Sure, thank you. I guess one thing I see is essentially with the ordinance 2020-02B, we are just regulating this small area of downtown, and that's fine. That has been kind of determined to be potentially most problematic. I think there will be concerns on other areas that are not included in this map, and you may see some of those. So I'd like to see something a little more widespread. And I guess for me, it's not just geography, it's impacts, it's number of participants, are they guided, what are the routes they're taking, are there ways to move people efficiently downtown through this area? I don't know what those are. I know other communities have fast transit lanes on something like the CWAP. Anyway, I just want us to be open and creative and I guess kind of hear what some ideas might be before just saying, no, you cannot, no go in this area, period.
Okay, Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I want to speak in support of this amendment and maybe also give my thoughts on the question that Ms. Gladyshevsky just asked. I think when this ordinance, when this whole process started, we were talking about dockless bikes and scooters, and we've morphed into what we are now. And I share some of Mr. Smith's concerns about that process, and I think that we could, I think those are two, I think where we are now and where we started are pretty separate places, and I think we could put in some more thought and care into this. So I think that sunsetting this in 1 year is a good idea.
All right, thank you, Ms. Tree. Ms. Hughes-Ganny, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I am also going to speak in support of this, and my thoughts are generally that we did start this based on a really specific issue, and I think the staff has done a good job of, we looked at preventing that specific issue. And whether it's to amend the map or not, I do think that's kind of at the crux of this. And I think that if we sunset this, there are, it presented a whole host of other potential problems, basically, while we're trying to solve the one problem. And I think with this little line that perhaps maybe on the other side of the line, we're going to have to come up with a better far-reaching policy. And in terms of creative ways to solve a congestion problem, it's not that hard for me to imagine, and maybe that's not doable, but having something like a bike lane on the Seawalk or something like that potentially in the future. So I think sunsetting it forces us to come up with, gives us some time to come up with a more perfect answer. So,
all right. Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Ganny. Mr. Jones, you want to weigh in before I weigh in?
No, go ahead.
All right. So I object for purposes of a question. When are we expecting the Egan Drive construction with the bike lanes to be accomplished? Is it this summer or next summer?
Madam Mayor, I believe they are going to finish this summer, although it was a lot of work. And until they're done, I wouldn't be certain.
All right. Thank you. I'll have to decide on this one. Ms. Gladyszewski.
I guess I'll object, because Mr. Smith said that he envisioned that there could be more places we might want to do this, and that would be you can do that by adding areas. So rather the perfect being the enemy of the good, to me there are I could imagine amending this map so you don't takes the capital out, for example. If that's, you know, but all of South Franklin, what we tried to do is there is no way I think you can have these little devices, scooters, in those areas. If we want to talk about adding areas, which is what you suggested, I don't object to that, but that doesn't mean you would sunset this. So that's where I am at this point.
All right. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Gladyszewski. I did mention potentially something a little more broad. I guess I also potentially don't, again, if it comes back to impacts, and I see, to me, it's more what's the device, how are they moving, the number and the route. And to be honest, I think there could potentially be something that we're prohibiting in this zone that could function safely and work well, a small group of three on e-bikes that do potentially go through South Franklin, and I think it could potentially work and be done well. So I guess I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know what everyone would propose. I just think there are some opportunities that could work for us, but that isn't just a geo kind of fencing or a geo kind of exclusion.
All right, thank you, Mr. Smith. I'm going to maintain my objection for purposes of another question. Although I'm going to first talk to you, Mr. Smith, you are aware that a person unaffiliated with a commercial tour using a micro-mobility device in the area described is allowed. So if you had two friends and you had to use electric assist on a bicycle, you can still do that. And my question is actually for Ms. Hughes-Scannies, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but as the liaison to JCOS, have they mentioned wanting to weigh in on this?
This is fairly recent. I was aware that they were aware of this ordinance, and there hasn't been like a move by the board, and there hasn't been at a meeting full discussion of it. Individual members have been aware of it, and I would say that as far as referencing that, I do think that they have strong feelings about how we can get more electric devices downtown, and I mean this does very much sound like something that would be up their alley, that they would potentially want to see some limited in this downtown corridor if it could be done right, depending on what bike lanes might look like, et cetera. So I would say, based on my observation, this. Since I'm already talking, you shouldn't have asked me anything. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would say that in reference to perfect being the enemy of the good, I think if my choices tonight were this or not this, I'd choose this. But I feel like this with a sunset is a good compromise. So I'll just add that.
All right. Well, I don't know where Ms. Glashevsky is, but I will maintain my objection. So I don't think a year is a good enough trial time, just because I'm not sure if the construction's going to be done. So if you want to amend your amendment to 2 years, I might consider that. But I think we can add and subtract to this ordinance as needed already. So with that, I don't see any further hands. We have objection. Madam Clerk.
I'll just say one more thing. We can always change this, and I agree that a year making us do it in a year, I'm not for that. You sort of making the next assembly do it for 2 years. I don't know if I'd be for that either. But we can always change it if it something we find out new information, just like we found out. So I guess I'll maintain my objection as well.
Okay, so for amendment number one, to Ordinance 2020-02, Version B, an ordinance regulating commercial rental provision and use of shared micromobility devices. The amendment is to insert the following language just before Section 3 on Ordinance Page 5, Line 11, Packet Page 158. 20.20.060, Sunset Provision. Section A, in general, except as provided in subsection B, Chapter 20.20, micromobility devices shall cease to have effect on April 1st, 2021, and is automatically repealed. Section B, enforcement action exception. With respect to any conduct prohibited by Chapter 20.20 that occurred before the sunset date in subsection A, and subject to an enforcement action, such provisions of Chapter 20.20 continues in effect until complete resolution of the particular enforcement action. So in favor of this amendment, Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Hughes-Scandes?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Bryson? Oh, excuse me. Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion fails, 3-3.
All right, so that brings us to the original motion from Ms. Treem. Any discussion on, further discussion on that? Seeing and hearing none, and there's no objections, that motion passes. Welcome back, Mr. Bryson.
Good to be back, Madam Mayor.
All right, that brings us to unfinished business. Any unfinished business, Mr. Manager?
No unfinished business, thank you.
And no new business, I'm assuming?
That's correct.
Okay, so that brings us to staff reports.
Madam Mayor, packet page 161 is a memo from Mr. Chambor. The terms for the grant for the senior assisted living project by Torrey Pines Development. When the assembly passed the ordinance authorizing this $2 million grant, it requested that the terms of the grant be brought back to it. The memo details it, but the basic intent is to try and distribute the grant funds, in a manner that gets construction started this season. So funds would be released upon signing of the purchase and sale agreement, and funds would be released up to $750,000 for planning, design, engineering, and architecture, and then the last $1 million would be bundled into the developer's loan. But it would actually be given over to the bank with all the other venture capital that's obtained, and then it would be released along with the other funding. I guess we'd be looking for non-objection or motion of support, whatever the assembly feels is appropriate on this.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Just a question about the third thing. I have a question first, just about at the closing of the construction loan. When does that happen?
Through the
I mean,
mayor.
Tell me what this means date-wise or process-wise.
Through the mayor, Torrey Pines hopes to bring, they've hired local architects to begin developing plans and enough information to go to the Planning Commission. I think they hope to go to the Planning Commission in May. If they get their use permits and building permits, they would close on the loan, I believe, in August. And at that time when they close on the loan, the bank would require that they provide all of the funds that they've acquired to the bank. And the bank would hold all that venture capital and this $1 million. So probably August, and that's when they hope to start construction.
So this is before they start anything. So they'll have all of our money before they start anything, CBJ's money.
The bank will have, their bank would have $1 million, and they would have spent $1 million.
But it is out of our hands. $2 million will be out of our hands by August 2020.
Correct.
And that's before they've done any construction. The bank will have it, but we don't have it anymore.
Correct.
So if the bank has it, does that mean we can get it back if something happens, or... I guess we were concerned that our money would be spent first, and is this making us happy with our money not being spent first? Just satisfying that.
Madam Mayor, we've had a number of conversations with the developer on it, and so on a roughly $30 million project, they are trying to obtain roughly, I think, around $8 million of venture capital. The bank has told them that they will loan the balance of the 22, say, I don't know what the exact number is, provided that Torrey Pines give them that $8 million of non-loan money to the bank. So our million would go with approximately $7 million of venture capital and be given over to the bank. And then the bank would disperse our million and that venture capital million before it disperses the $22 million or so of loan money.
Okay, I saw some confused faces down the other end. Is there any other questions on this? You guys are quite crowded there. All right, I think Ms. Hughes-Gandies, it's your turn if you want to do a motion of support.
Thank you,
or
Madam.
Not.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would recommend that the Assembly do a motion of support. I don't know the correct phrasing for that, but I feel fine and good with this.
So we have a motion of support for the Torrey Pines grant agreement. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, consider you're supported. Okay, that brings us to assembly reports. Since we hasn't been very long since we talked. My report will be pretty short. So first of all, happy birthday to Maria, whose birthday was on Friday. She spent in Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. So she's the tan one among us. So just briefly what I have done, other than been out of town and also been sick, attended Southeast Conference, and hopefully their idea of public corporation for the Alaska Marine Highway System pans out and gets support. I also attend the swearing in of Officer Beckett Savage and Community Service Officer Kat Myers. That was fun, and I've seen them both out on the streets. I met with the mayor of St. Paul, and that was pretty interesting, talking about St. Paul, which is one of the islands in the middle of, or off the Aleutian chain, I guess is the easiest way. And his name was Jacob, and I'll slaughter this last name, Merculef. And we hope to see him at AML because he hopes to be there, so that will be fun. We had a lovely tour of the biosolid dryer, and thank you to the staff at the Mendenhall Treatment Plant for answering all of our questions, and it's a pretty fascinating process, which most of our citizens don't think much about when they flush the toilet, but it's pretty interesting. So, and we met briefly with Senator Murkowski, and what we talked about was the NOAA and U.S. Coast Guard docks downtown and some options of what could be possibly done with them. And she also applauded us for our work over Housing First, so that was nice to hear that. Alaska Municipal League was here for their winter conference and legislative session, and unfortunately I was only able to attend the first day, but it was very enlightening, and then I was sick for the next two, so, but I know lots of our staff are there, and many of you guys came in and out, so hopefully we got from that. The city manager and I also have an invitation from Russell Dick, the president and CEO of Huna Totem, to invite us out to Huna on April 29th for the grand opening of their new cruise ship pier and their new gondola system. So I think this time we're planning to do that. And looking ahead, Innovation Summit is the 26th and 27th for those of you who are interested. So that's all I have for today. So with our committee reports, we'll have the Human Resources Committee first. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Human Resource Committee met this evening on the 24th. We had appointments to the Personnel Board for a term beginning immediately and ending January 31st, 2023. We forwarded the name of Rodney Hessen and Cindy Spaniers, and asked for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, they are appointed.
We also, I'd like to move the slate of nominations for the Local Emergency Planning Commission and move that to the State Emergency Response Commission for their approval. And I ask for unanimous consent.
All right. Any questions on the slate or any objections to this slate? It is in your human resources packet if you didn't see it. So. Okay. Seeing no objection, your slate is approved.
And then we had discussed the possibility of an ad hoc committee at Human Resource to effectively help the 50th anniversary celebration. And do we need to ask permission from the Assembly to form that ad hoc? We were going to ask that here. All right, thank you. So we're thinking about creating an ad hoc committee. Just thinking about it. To help facilitate the 50th anniversary of Juno, and I'm working with the clerk and deputy clerk before we bring that suggestion to the Assembly. That is all from the Human Resource Committee, Madam Mayor.
Okay, and I'll just make one correction. That's Juno and Douglas.
Thanks, Madam Mayor.
That's when we combined as one municipality and borough. All right. Mr. Edwardson is not here for lands, so we go to, Michelle Hale is not here for public work, so we go to Committee of the Whole. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We had a Committee of the Whole meeting on February 10th. and talked about a number of things. We heard a presentation from Sea Alaska Heritage Institute about their arts campus project across the way, which is exciting. They also asked for some support from the city. That support part was sent to finance for its get in the queue. And we talked about the ordinance that we passed today, the micro-mobility devices one, and we also talked about the Historic and Cultural Preservation Plan, which we also adopted today. And we heard a presentation, we talked about the Franklin Dock lease request and the Seawalk. And we are going to have another Committee of the Whole meeting next Monday. So we'll see you at that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right. Thank you for that. And Finance, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Finance Committee met on the 5th of February. We got the first look at the marine pasture fee. The potential spending become part of the Finance Committee once we go into our April schedule. We talked about the meeting schedule for beginning April 1st. And our next committee meeting will be on the 11th of March. Also, the Joint School Board Assembly Schools Facilities Committee met on the 13th. We discussed the school projects that are done and ongoing with the last 3 or 4 years of funding from the city, along with both general appropriations and the sales tax money. We looked at the CIP list for 2021, and we discussed the need for roofs at Gaston and Sadagahini Middle School. We had a long discussion about the scoring within the state. Gaston roof, I think, was number 16, and the Sadagahini roof was like number 47. Given that there's no money in the state budget for schools maintenance or for any capital projects, those two things won't be funded in the next couple of years. So we talked about how we might look at funding it this year, and that will probably be ripe for discussion at the when the Finance Committee begins our budget discussions April 1st. And those are my two committee reports.
Thank you. And I don't believe the Eagle Crest Summer Operations Task Force has met, but I think it's meeting next week or the week after?
The first Thursday, which is March
5th.
March 5th.
All right. And the Visitor Industry Task Force has been busy, however.
Yeah.
Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Visitor Industry Task Force met on the 18th. We continued discussion. We talked about the long-term waterfront plan and options for public opinion surveys. We gave more guidance to staff who are working on a draft of our recommendations, and we will see that draft by our next meeting, which is March 4th. And that will be another longer work session type meeting in the afternoon and evening.
And that concludes your report?
Are we just doing committee reports?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Now for any liaison reports or comments and questions. Okay, Mr. Jones.
I was just going to ask Ms. Treem, you're also meeting on a Sunday morning? People might get that on their calendar.
Yeah, let me bring up my calendar.
March 8th at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, which is highly unusual for assembly. So I wanted to make sure that got out for people listening.
Yes. Thank you for the reminder. Yes, we did also block off Sunday, March 8th, I think at 10 o'clock. Scheduling this has been the most difficult part of this whole process. It's like herding cats. So it is unusual. You don't have to join us, Mr. Jones. You could spend your Sunday somewhere else.
I think I'll be here.
Yeah.
So just review, when are the next meetings? I'm sorry, Ms.
March, March 4th, 4:30 or 5. Depends on what is happening in this room right before that. And then March 8th at 10 o'clock.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Treem. All right. And we'll start with Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Attended the CHAR reception, hospitality, met with a couple legislators for that one. I met with Keep Juno Green, an organization that kind of combined a few groups that were trying to accomplish a couple of plastic reduction strategies. I met with Ricardo Wuerl and Lee Kattinger with SHI, where they gave me an overview of their upcoming project. And I attended the opera, and I've said the name wrong every time, and Sheila, the opera that was taking place over last weekend. My daughter was a treat. It was wonderful. And I was hoping, I read the letter from the Archipelago group that talked about their concern for the Planning Commission decision, and I was wondering the possibility of getting that onto a committee of the whole discussion.
Ms. Blasius?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, Mr. Bryson, in fact, we are going to do that next Monday.
That would be my report, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 5th, there was a special planning commission meeting where they actually denied the variance for the zero parking at the Archipelago lot. There is another meeting of the Planning Commission tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the Assembly Chambers. On the 12th, the Sister Cities Committee met. Some potential upcoming events, but I did want to just shout out that that is a hardworking group of people that care about building relationships between our sister cities. They are looking for membership, but that is fun, and they're a good group, so I encourage anyone who's interested to apply. I attended with Miss Hughes Scandies the Clinkett and Haida Valentine's Day Elders Lunch. Really great time with some of our wisest and most special people of the community. Also into the Elizabeth Paradovich Day, a couple of Elizabeth Paradovich Day events. For those who don't know, Elizabeth Paradovich Day is set to mark the anniversary of the Anti-Discrimination Act in Alaska. And that was the first act of its kind in the nation. 20 years before statehood, I think nearly that long before the Civil Rights Act, but essentially outlawing discrimination based on a number of reasons. So groundbreaking act, named for a woman who championed it. Also went to a visitor industry task force, a blueprint downtown meeting, fascinating discussion on how design can be used to reduce crime. Went to a Downtown Business Association reception, Southeast Conference. There's the Ock Bay Wax Museum coming up this week, 6 o'clock at Ock Bay School on Thursday. The Innovation Summit is coming up. And there's a Territorial Sportsman's Banquet coming up this weekend that I'm hoping to go to. But that is it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Hughes-Scandies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Juneau Commission on Sustainability met February 5th, and it was a busy meeting. They installed the new officers, new chair and vice chair, and the chair kept the meeting right on time with the full agenda, so that was great. Working on plastics, this coming Wednesday, there's going to be another work session at the library that will be entirely focused on waste, I believe, solid waste strategies. They're also reworking some things. We asked them to rework for the sustainability awards and working on some letters to get more grant funds to get us some more electric bus fund money, so that's great. Docks and Harbors had an ops meeting that I was not able to attend. They had a very full agenda, but I bring it up because I just wanted to let you know that Mr. Yucatel met with Gold Belt and is in the early stages of discussing. He's discussed it with our law department, but they're taking a look at potentially scheduling the Gold Belt private docks. And seeing if those could be utilized better. And I'm not sure legally what that would look like, but I just wanted to put it on your agenda or put it in your minds so you knew ahead of time. As I have more details, I'll let you guys know. As Mr. Smith said, went to the Tlingit and Haida Elders dance. What I neglected to say was a Valentine's dance, and thanks to JPD for stopping by and cutting up a rug. The people who were there had a great time dancing, and so did the police, it looked like. Went to several arts events, wearable art, Saints of Failure, Daryl Scott. Good job, Miss Opera, sadly. And the girl attended the Girl Scouts auction this last weekend, which was also lots of fun. So that concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Gannies. Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Aquatics Board has not met since our last meeting, but they have a meeting tomorrow at 5 o'clock here in this room. And the Parks and Rec Director assures me that it's going to be a very fun and exciting meeting. And I believe that they will be discussing commercial use in the pools and the Augustus Brown renovation plans, including, I hope, an update on the hair dryers. The Chamber of Commerce Board met on the 12th. I discussed our work on sales tax exemptions with them. That was what they were most interested in. Travel Juno met last Friday. They did not have a quorum for a full meeting. So in their next meeting, they will be discussing and, I think, approving their budget. I also went on the biosolids plant tour. It was very fun. I love a good tour and a lot of smells on that one. But it was very neat. I attended some of AML as I had time. It's always a great conference to attend. What else have I done? Oh, and I also attended a rally in support of the ferry system on outside the Capitol on the 11th. That's an important cause. And I think that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Train. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended most of Southeast Conference and most of AML. AML was an interesting time listening to concerns of the other communities around the state that were here. For the first time in this administration, the governor did come on Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. He was there about 40 minutes. After he left, there was a lot of discussion amongst the members about messages that they heard or didn't hear. I was impressed by the general consensus that everybody had almost close to the same perception as I had from the governor's speech, and that was good because I think the communities of the state are pretty united in terms of wanting to make sure that we keep a united position in terms of the budget and what's happening. A lot of support for the ferry system, a lot of concern from a lot of other communities about what's happening in Southeast in terms of the ferry system. The AML board then met at 1:30 in the governor's conference room, just the board and the governor. A lot of the same issues came up in terms of the ferry system, school bond debt, and community revenue sharing. To say that made me more optimistic about any of those issues being resolved didn't happen. I would say that we're at where we're at, and I don't see much movement outside of the administration offices on any of those subjects. The board then met in the afternoon, pretty much a business meeting. Then the main meeting has not yet been set. Generally, that's held in Anchorage. Last year, it was held here because the legislature was still in town. It's not expected that the legislature will still be in town in early May, given that this is an election year. But one never knows these days. I attended the Juneau School District board retreat on Saturday. They spent from 8:30 till noon looking at their budget. In the past 2 years, the school district has put forth a budget that they consider to be zero-based, in that they are looking at those things that are mandatory and have a dollar figure on those. Insurance, keeping the buildings up, utilities, those kinds of things that they don't have much discretion on. Then they have essential, and then basically they have a discretionary fund. At this point, given the no change in school funding, the special legislative grant that they have gotten for the last 2 years is not in the current budget at the state level, meaning that they have a pretty significant reduction. If they fund all of the discretionary projects that are currently funded for this particular year, their budget is $773,000 in the hole. They spent almost till noon lamenting about that, trying to figure out what they could do about that, how they might do that. Since they were in a work session, they didn't make any decisions. This Tuesday at 5:30 at JDH High School Library, the board is going back into a budget session in which they will be making some decisions so that then the public knows what to react to when they have their board meeting on the 10th of March for first reading of the budget. They have to have the budget to us before we go into our April 1st meeting. And they have to have two readings of the school board. So there will be several other special meetings of the school board to hear both public opinion, staff opinion, as well as getting their second reading before it's officially presented to us. So this Tuesday at 5:30 at JDH High School, you will see that presented. And other than that, I attended a lot of what other people attended, some of which I didn't know about the Valentine's Day dance. I probably wouldn't have gone to that since I don't drink enough to dance anymore, but, especially at noon. Although seeing the two downtown police officers out dancing on some of the videos on Facebook was a testament as to why I don't dance. I did enjoy it, watching those. I did not see Greg dancing, but I did see the police officer. So apparently he's not as photogenic as some of the but anyway, that's pretty much it. You know, upcoming, just like everything else, the Innovation Summit and dealing with the school board issues. For those who are interested, who live over on the island, the South Douglas West Juneau planning group is sort of being formed. So they have, according to this calendar, they are scheduled to meet on the 3rd of March at the library at 5, and again on the 11th at 5, but we have a finance committee meeting. So I will go to at least one of those. I won't be able to make both of them. And then the Tourism Task Force, Eagle Crest. Anyway, it'll be a fun another couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Glashevsky.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I left town at 5 a.m. after our last meeting and arrived into town midnight before this meeting, so I missed most of everything that you guys all talked about, except for Southeast Conference. I went to some of that. And Mr. Jones, talking about upcoming things, there's another opportunity for dancing this weekend at the Elizabeth Peratrovich 75th celebration at the A&B Hall. So that's in competition with TSI, so we'll have to see what we can, territorial sportsmen. But that's the 75th celebration of the Anti-Discrimination Bill of 1945. That's at this Saturday from 7 to 10 at the Elizabeth Peratrovich Hall. And that's all I have. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. That was quick. All right. That brings us to any continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. See you. seeing and hearing none. Ms. Train, will you bring us into executive session, and we will take a break right after we go into executive session.
I move that the assembly recess into executive session to discuss Adams v. CBJ, specifically a candid discussion of the facts and litigation strategy with the municipal attorney.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Treem. Are there any objections from the public for us to go into executive session? Seeing and hearing none, we are in executive session. And the first thing we'll do is take a 10-minute break.
And that concludes the CBJ Assembly meeting broadcast. The next meeting is on March 16th. And thanks for listening tonight. I'm Martha Moore. Good night.